come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Open our Bibles to John chapter 15. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful, God, to be able to sit here at your feet and just receive what you have to say to us tonight, God, because we know that each and every one of us here tonight has a divine appointment with you. And we are just sitting at your feet with open hearts, receiving hearts for what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on this place tonight. Touch your women, Lord God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray, and all the women said, amen. Okay, so in chapter 14, in the last chapter, tells us that Jesus and the disciples are about to leave the upper room, and they are headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will go and pray and later be arrested by the mob that's led by Judas. In chapter 15 and 16, Jesus is speaking to the disciples en route to the garden. And Jesus is illustrating himself as the true vine. I can only imagine at this time of the year, which was probably about mid-April, that he's walking on this pathway and actually taking the grapevines and using them as an illustration of himself to the disciples to just drive the point home more strongly. As you know, a lot of us, I know I'm a very visual person. I, you know, if I can see it, then somehow it just makes better sense. So, and these grapevines at this time of the year are ready to start blooming and become ready for a full harvest. So Jesus is spending this time teaching and showing the disciples the vital importance of a true relationship with himself and the Father. So some of us may question, why is Jesus telling them about this now? You know, why wasn't he telling them about this earlier? Well, frankly, they needed to hear it, and they needed to understand it. Remember, all of these men were just informed that Jesus is going away, and they cannot go with him. And they are going to continue the work that Jesus did here and greater. So they are going to be carrying out this work. And in order for them to be able to accomplish this, they needed to be instructed on what their calling was and their mission. And as his disciples, they needed to have this understanding, which is necessary in producing the kind of fruit in their lives that was required to carry this out, and that they needed to have an absolute dependence on Jesus. So today, as we look at this place in time, we're about more than 2,000 years from that night in the upper room, and the work of the Lord has continued and is still being carried out through around the world through those that he has called and empowered. In this chapter, we're gonna see how God today is still working through us and the followers of Jesus to accomplish his work. And we are also gonna learn how to be true disciples, and how to bear fruit for the glory of the Lord. So let's dive in. So we're gonna be looking at the true vine, which is starting with John 15, verse 1. So I'm going to go ahead and read this chapter, and then we'll go ahead and break it down. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall be my disciples, as the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that is a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify to me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have with me from the beginning. So we see here that Jesus is the true vine. So we're going to be talking about the personality of the true vine, which is Jesus. So the genuineness of the true vine, Jesus alone possesses life within himself. And we saw that in John 14, verse 6. The gardener of the vine is the Father. The word husbandman refers to the vine dresser or the gardener. The gardener has the responsibility of caring for the vineyard. The gardener plants and watches over to receive and rejoice in its fruit. The gardener is involved in everything that has to do with the vine. There are three specific duties of the gardener in regards to the vine. Protection. The gardener provides tender watch and care over the vineyard. Purification. The gardener uses two primary methods of purifying his vineyard, and this is referenced in verse 2. So he challenges the branch, taketh away, is a form of lifting up or raising higher. This means that when we get to a place in our Christian lives where we're being unfruitful or we're barren, the Lord will reach into our lives and disturb our complacency and challenge us to grow and begin to bear fruit again. Sometimes this reaching into our lives is not a comfort thing. It's actually maybe sometimes an unpleasant disturbance. He, with some of us, has to reach into our lives with chastisement. It's always best for us to go to the Lord in repentance than to have him come after us in this way. So then he cleanses the branch. The gardener removes things from the branch that zap its vitality and its strength. So anything that is consuming life and not producing fruit, misdirected shoots, spots, discoloration, he takes care of it. Then he prunes the branch. Pruning, by its very name, sounds extremely painful. It is not always easy to cut the junk out of our lives. But if we don't do it, the Lord surely will. Pruning is accomplished by the Word of God, as the Word of God is a mirror into our own heart, into our lives, revealing problems, issues. The Word of God also cuts us to the heart. We have a reminder in Hebrews 12, 15 through 17. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless, like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what had already been done. It was too late. Secondly, we're going to be looking at the purposes of the true vine. There are actually three purposes. There's a distinct purpose, which is to bear fruit and bring glory to the Father. The distinguished purpose is all glory passes on to the gardener, the Father. Everything of the vine, past, present, and future, is to glorify the gardener. This should be our heart as believers, to live our lives and to do all that we do to bring glory to the Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, do everything heartily and freely to God's glory. Thirdly, the delegated purpose. The vine supplies its life to the branches. The branches take that life, support, and use it to bear fruit. Then there are qualifications to bearing fruit. The branch must be attached to the vine. There must be a grafting in, which is a vital union between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ, the true vine. If we are truly united with Jesus, the vine, then our old ways have been crucified, and we have been raised to walk in this new way of life with Jesus. The branch must abide in the vine. Abiding means to live, dwell, to be connected. We must maintain close, intimate fellowship with the vine if he is to live through us, producing his fruit in our lives. How do we abide in the vine? Prayer, daily study of his word, denying self, drawing close to God. How would you describe your life tonight? Are you abiding? Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? What is the Lord speaking to your heart tonight? If none of these are yeses, maybe it's time to go back and look at the qualification number one. Are you attached to the vine? The branch must also be available to the vine. If we yield our life to Jesus, he will live in and through our lives. How do we make our lives available? Being available witness in our homes primarily first, our families, we could volunteer. You know, Joy comes up here and you know, we have many opportunities to volunteer for other needs that arise. How do we know if the fruit that's being produced through us? If we're abiding in the vine, then Jesus is living in and through our lives. This in itself is pleasing to the Lord. Some branches produce much fruit, and some branches produce little fruit. This is strictly up to the vine to determine, which is Jesus. We are bringing glory to the Father by stepping out and being available. What does not abiding in the vine look like? You could have loss of fellowship, loss of life, which means you now have weakness where there used to be power, loss of earthly and heavenly rewards, which earthly rewards meaning God's blessing, joy, peace, wisdom, God's protection, and the heavenly rewards are the crowns that we are wanting all to lay at his feet when we get there. Looking back on Esau's situation, you know, back in Hebrews 12:17, we don't want to be caught in that moment of wishing that we would have done, and it's too late. So the promise of the true vine is to those who abide in the true vine. And these are the promises. An unhindered prayer life. Our will becomes aligned with Jesus' will, which is God's will. And he will hear and act on our petitions in prayer. An unending love. We who abide have entered into a special intimate relationship with Jesus. And then we receive an uncommon joy. When we are abiding in Jesus, our relationship with the Father is assured of all full confidence. That's what fills our heart with joy, unspeakable and full of glory, which causes our hearts to want to serve God. Joy is divine. It's not based on happiness. That's an emotion. This uncommon joy is a product of faith. And when we have joy in the Lord, that produces our faithfulness to the Lord. In the next verses, chapter 15, 12 through 17, is referencing Jesus as the sinner's friend. His fellowship is seen in his sacrifice. He laid down his own life for us. That was a voluntary act that he did. It was vicarious. It was performed or suffered by him as a substitution for us. It was to benefit and be at the advantage of us. It was vicious. It was deep and intense suffering that he endured. It was victorious. His death in obedience to God sacrificed the righteous demand of God concerning the atonement for our sin. His fellowship is seen in his sharing. He shares his love. Jesus reminds us that he loves us. This truth resonates throughout God's word. He shares his life. Jesus gave his life on the cross for us. Every life he touches changes. He shares his lessons. Jesus teaches us truth about God, his character, and his word through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us how to love, worship, and live for him. His friendship is seen in his salvation. We are chosen by him. We didn't choose him. We are called by him, and we are comforted by him. Now, in verses 18 through 27, we are going to be looking at the world as it rejected him. So Jesus knew that after he left the disciples to return to heaven, they would face some difficult oppositions in the world. Maybe because he had just told them that they would do even greater works than he did, as in John 14:12. They were probably envisioning receptive crowds, smooth sailing, but the reality was they were going to face some pretty severe persecution, both mentally and or physically, for most all of them. Not just from the pagan world, but from the religious crowd as well. Jesus wanted them to know what to expect from the world and how to respond to the hostility that they would experience. This is his message to them and to us. The word breaks this down in two sections. The world's hatred for Christians, verses 18 through 25, and our responsibility to the hostile world, verses 26 through 27. The world hates believers because it hates Jesus. I'm going to give you five things to note. A hatred for love for Jesus is what either divides us or unites us. The world hates Jesus because he exposes our sin. If the world thinks you're wonderful, maybe you need to check your witness. The world's hatred for Jesus and believers does not prevent or obstruct the sovereignty of God, but actually it fulfills it. The world hates believers because we're different. We have a calling. Jesus chose us out of the world. We have a different master. Jesus is our Lord. We have different knowledge. We know the Father. In spite of the world's hatred, we should testify to the truth of Jesus. The disciples testified about Jesus. Expect from the world what Jesus received from the world. Some will persecute you, and some that will keep your word. So in the chapter review, we have a purpose in the true vine, which is Jesus. We need to heed his calling. We need to bring glory to the Father, the gardener. We need to share the truth of Jesus Christ, and we need to love others. We have been given promises, abiding in Christ, willfully choosing to live in and obey God wholeheartedly. It's an act of worship. It's voluntary. It's an inward act on our part. God gets all the glory, and it's an act of love towards God. It affects others, and it causes our prayers to be unhindered, and we receive the unending love with Jesus and an uncommon joy. Believers' responsibility to those in the world, we need to balance our boldness and our witness. Our conduct around people, especially those we are closely involved with, are we reflecting our Christian beliefs? Are we acting the way that we are talking? Where do we draw the line with the things of the world? Movies, trends, music, water fountain conversations, as they used to have. I don't know if there's any water fountains anymore, but, you know. Have we set those boundaries? Not walls, but boundaries. This verse came to me this morning that I have, you know, pinned up in my bathroom, and it's 1 Corinthians 13:16. Guard your heart. Be steadfast in the faith. Let all that you do be done in love. So, in conclusion, if you find yourself always surrounded by Christians in the workplace or wherever you are, ask the Lord for opportunities to cross the path with someone that needs a Savior. Pray for alertness, awareness, opportunities, and boldness to speak and the strength to be obedient, to step out in faith. Not everything God instructs us to do is within our comfort zone. Be willing to get out of your comfort zone. I sometimes say to myself, you know, in conversations with people, and they walk away, oh, I should have said that, or why didn't I share this with them, or why didn't I say that to them, but they're already gone. So heed the moment. And I'm sure not all of us fall on the side of the fence of having too much boldness. In remembering Paul, as he's speaking to those believers in Ephesus, Ephesians 6:19-20, where he's asking for them to pray for him, that he would have boldness to speak out as he should. Paul is asking for boldness? we have the whole New Testament because of Paul. If he would not have, you know, gone to jail and been in prison, we probably wouldn't have the New Testament. And here he is asking for boldness. So I just, you know, just hope that, you know, the Lord is tugging on your heart to be quickened by his Spirit to be about his business. I know we all know that, you know, the time is short and we see what's going on around the world. And, you know, we know the end of the book. The enemy does not win. Jesus wins. But it's about getting the message out there. It's about sharing who Jesus is in our lives. That's going to change the life of someone else that needs a Savior, that is lost and hurting and doesn't know all that we know. Like, we have this knowledge and we have a duty to the Lord to bring glory to his name by sharing that and not just hanging on to it, but to speak out. So I just encourage you women to pray and ask God to show you what your part in this is, because we have a part, all of us. We are the body of Christ. So I just ask that you would pray that and just be willing to accept what God is showing you that he has for you. And I know, I don't think there's one person that I know that I've met along my pathway that has been completely comfortable with everything that the Lord has asked them to do. But, you know, God is a rewarder of those who love him and are faithful to him. And he will equip you and strengthen you to do whatever he calls you to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you are sovereign, that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to suffer and pay the price for our sin, Lord. And we just thank you that you have chosen us out of the world and that you have called us to be part of the sharing of the gospel. And we just ask, God, that you would empower us and strengthen us to go forward in these last days, God, and just be the example, the witness that you have called us to be, Lord, that we would be women of excellence, and that when people see us, you would be shining brightly through, Lord. So we thank you, God, for your word and how it just cuts through all the muck and the mire of our heart, Lord. You know exactly what is going on with each and every woman here tonight, Lord. You know what they need to hear, and you can make that happen, Lord, in their lives. So we ask, God, that you would just move amongst these women in a mighty and powerful way, Lord, that this message would just empower these women and that they would get busy about your business, Lord. So we thank you, God, for your word and for just the opportunity to be sitting here tonight, Lord, receiving what you have for us and the ability to open our Bibles at any moment of any day, God. Thank you for blessing us, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all his women said, amen.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.